I hope you're strapped in. I hope your tank is on full. I hope you're ready to go, because it's that time again. It's Driving Your Homo. Okay, welcome to the podcast. I'm Wayne Carter, your host, and I am joined today with the beautiful, the talented, the gorgeous Jordan Gray. Say hello, Jordan.
Hello, Jordan. Good evening. I'm Jordan Gray, unless you're listening in the morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What are you doing in the morning? Why are you listening to this right now?
Suspicious, if anything.
100%. We're really fortunate today in that we are in the basement of, I think, a refurbished church. But it's actually, is it?
I feel like at one point it was used for human sacrifice. There's a crypt downstairs.
Oh, excellent.
Honestly, there literally is. That's not a joke. We're in the... You tell me where we are.
Okay, we're actually in the Museum of Comedy, which is... We're in preparation about 2 hours away from Jordan going into a competition for Leicester Square Comedian of the Year.
Yeah, man.
Hooray! So she's going to be like, doing stuff and winning in goals and all that kind of
jokes, jazz. Japes,
all the lols. But yeah, so we're sitting in this sort of really, really vintage, really, really amazing kind of, I don't know, church comedy. What, you know what? We're surrounded by old school comedians, and I see Tim Minchin, I see Brendan Burns, I see Stephen K. Amos, I see all of these comedian gods looking down at us going, you know what? This might be the first podcast we do, but it's going to be the best. And Jordan Gray is going to storm her competition.
It's like we're sitting on the ley lines of comedy. Any hippy-dippies out there will know what that means. Ooh. I don't, so you can put it together. I like it here because it feels like we're surrounded by all this paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And it's like you get to see, as comedians, we get to see the lineage that we are at the tail end of. It's like, oh, how cool is it that we're continuing this?
Their legacy.
You can't... What's on the walls? There's some legs hanging there.
There's some legs hanging there. I mean, they're wooden legs. Oh, you know what they are? It's a stand for like magic and stuff.
That's right. We're in the Tommy Cooper section.
Oh, this is amazing.
It's beautiful.
So this is where we are. This is what we do. This is Driving Your Homo, the podcast where we're going to just waffle pretty much whatever we want to waffle about. That is relevant to today in queer lifestyle and that kind of stuff. I mean, it almost also might be talking about boys because that's who we are. It's what we do. We're all about the boys, unless you're a lesbian or
a woman,
or a woman. You know, if you're into the men or you're into the women, that's totally fine. Let's first things first. How did we meet? Okay, I know I've got a really unique story about how we met, but I want to hear your version of how we met.
Well, I arrived for my very first Edinburgh Fringe this year, and we're recording
2017.
In 2017.
Yeah.
And I had no intention to do any shows. I just wanted to take notes. I've just recently moved into comedy, having done pop for quite a long time. I passed a massive poster with your beautiful face on it, Wayne Carter.
My beautiful face? I don't know what you're talking about.
And I had obviously planned to come and see the show. So I was really excited. Just inches below your like blown up size face was your actual face. You were putting up a poster.
I'm one of the people, babe. I'm one of the people. I don't get my plebs to do it.
It was like Banksy or something.
It was real. It was real art, underground Banksy stuff.
So I was like, oh, this is my favourite bit about Edinburgh. These comedians that I'm really in admiration of, I'm usually better at English than this, they're actually walking about. Oh, I'm going to say hello. I said, hello, Wayne, I'm coming to see that show tonight. You fell to your knees in admiration of me.
You was like,
it's Jordan off the Voice. Oh, no. That's beautiful. I'm going to book a private show just for you. And your mate was there. He was like, oh, who's that? You were like, babe, that's Jordan off the Voice. She's so beautiful.
Okay, so that was a beautiful rendition of how we first met. That is slightly fabricated in some areas. For what happened, Jordan is absolutely phenomenal in what she does. But so what happened is, yes, she did meet me at Edinburgh Fringe 2017. I was doing a variety cabaret show there, and she saw me putting my posters up, Banksy style. That's 100% accurate. I was putting up my posters with a friend of mine, Keith, who is also a cabaret performer, who is phenomenal at what he does. And I think he won the Prize Got Talent in 2017 as well. So I think he's doing like really, really good for himself.
Sweet.
He is like absolutely phenomenal. And he fangirled
hard over Jordan, because Jordan came up to us and was like, oh my God, Wayne, you know, we're coming to your show. Oh, I'm coming to your show. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Rah, rah, rah. And then my friend Keith was just like, oh my God, this is Jordan Gray off the television. She was on The Voice. She's phenomenal. Rah, rah, rah. And I was like, who is this woman? And why is she getting up in my business? And then I got onto the Google and I YouTubed Jordan Gray and I listened to her. And I was like, you know what? She's okay, I guess. And then she came to the show.
I'll take the story there. I'll carry on. What you did was Googled me. Was your original assessment of me being amazing was surpassed by just how actually incredible I really am. And then you called me and you was like, oh, please come and do this podcast at the Museum of Comedy. I was like, mate, I'm really busy.
Yeah,
and
she's got lots of gigs.
You followed me here anyway. And now we're here because I'm here early and you saw me.
You know what? This is true. See, I'm stalking you, Jordan, because you're a phenomenal talent. And I just want to be around you because it makes me feel better about myself knowing that I'm surrounded by natural raw talent.
That's it. Thanks for joining us on the Driving You Home podcast. That's it.
Woohoo! Yeah. Okay, so let's get the ball rolling. I have scoured the internet on all of the social medias and all of the internets. I've www.grindr.com,
nice.
And I've asked all the boys, not for their nude pictures, but actually for topics of the day.
Oh, sweet!
And because you know that's who I am. I'm all about culture, and I'm all about like learning and educating and. You know, getting all that stuff done. Now, there is a YouTuber called Michael Henry. Now, I didn't know his actual name, but I see him on the Facebook feeds quite a lot, and he's got those sort of YouTube videos. He's a balder gentleman, and he's not your sort of stereotypical, what you would call conventionally attractive gentleman caller. Now, that's not a dig at him, because I also am blessed with the, ugliness.
The visage of a god.
You know what? I'll take that. I'll take that as a win. But, you know, so the gays, you know, the stereotype is abs for days and all that sort of, you know, ripped and blah, 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 blah. Whereas, you know, Michael Henry and I are blessed with the, you know, regular looking folk. We're one of the many. And, but he was doing a YouTube video. If you haven't heard of Michael Henry or you haven't seen his videos on YouTube, do look him up because he is phenomenal.
Okay.
And I do have a laugh at everything he does. But he was doing a video recently which made me lose my mind because it made me think about who I am as a person. And I found this hilarious because he was saying that gay men find one word really uncomfortable. You can call a gay man pretty much anything under the sun.
Oh, okay, like a slur.
This yeah. Is a slur. Okay. So not even a slur. It's more, well, it is a slur, but it's also not, it's sort of, you can say like, oh, you're a homo, you're an idiot, you're a loser, like you're a dumpster, like all of those sort of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, funny kind of, ha ha ha, you're gross and blah, blah, blah.
Classics.
You know, bants, all that bants. And, but he said there was one word that gays didn't like. Do you think you know what that word is? Gay men do not like it. They sort of cringe. They kind of like get stuck into themselves, and they can't deal with this word.
Is it a word that only
and it's not a derogatory word either.
Right. Okay. Is it right? Here's what my perspective on this has always been hanging around the lovely gay boys is that using a word that implies that obviously their sexuality is linked with the feminine gender, which is supposed to obviously be not intrinsically linked. Is it something that implies that they're basically women?
Oh, no.
Is it not?
No. But, well, I mean, you could use this to describe
like
a woman. But also, yeah, see, I get that as well. And I am, as because many of the twos of you that follow me on the Twitter will see that I do wear the dresses on occasion because I'm a classy lady and I'm all about
the way you talk sometimes is a bit like, this is completely divorced from everything he's ever done. But Bill Cosby, they're always like, you wear the dresses and
you do the things.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes I am the modern-day Bill Cosby.
You build those boots.
Well, you know what? In the wake
How
of...
How did I get here? I just woke up.
Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey. You know, we're just living our dreams, living our best lives.
I would have guessed something like Nancy or Susan or... But these are like from the 50s.
Yeah, you... how old are you? I thought you were in your early to mid late 19, babe.
How old am I? I'm 28.
Oh, and you're saying Nancy and Susan from the 50s.
I feel like these are insults that Johnny Cash's father would have been throwing around at him. I don't know.
No, well, you know what? I love it. The word, hilariously, is beautiful.
Oh, okay. So I don't know about you, but and this doesn't come. I don't think this is an intrinsically a gay boy thing or a gay man thing. I think this is a just. And I think this comes from me being a comedian as well. That as soon as someone calls me beautiful, I just go, "I'm sorry, what? I don't understand how what me beautiful." If so you can call me anything under the sun. Like you can slur me down, but as soon as you say something positive to me, I'm just like, "Wait, what? You like me?" Ugh.
That's a separate phenomenon to to think. The beautiful. So divorce it from any ideas of gender or anything to say so, like somebody's got a beautiful soul. That's its own thing.
Yeah, beautiful
when
soul.
When it comes
different.
To like, yeah, when you are linking it to sex, it's a very powerful word. The words beautiful and handsome, very powerful, especially because I'm transgender in that.
Wait, you're a transformer, what?
Yes, I'm Optimus me, Optimus Prime.
Optimus Grey.
Optimus Grey. Those two words, to start throwing those about to up and coming trans people that just transitioned, it's such a powerful word. The first time somebody told me I was beautiful, I just started to cry. But then I think it is associated with the feminine sphere. So if you're a drag performer and someone says beautiful, that yes.
See, I would be the same. So if someone called me drag, someone called me beautiful in drag, I'd be like, oh, yeah, queen.
Right, because
I don't know that moment in the persona. So did you find when you, I guess, for lack of a better word, came out as trans and when you, like, started becoming the best version of yourself, did you, when someone called you beautiful, did you, like, lose your shit?
Yeah, it was at Torture Garden, which is like a...
Oh, you went to Torture Garden?
Yeah.
I would have... Oh, I can't wait to go there with you.
It's
that would have been epic.
Right ruddy giggle it was.
Yeah.
I was wearing this outfit that had a billion zips on it, and I was trying to float this nickname. Like, you know when you want your own nickname? I was like, oh, people call me Zippy, and people are like... Do they?
No, they don't. I don't think they do.
One person did, and it was me.
But yeah, you know what? I'm going to call you Zippy from now on. I can't wait to call you Zippy.
I would say that we might have just happened upon the actual difference between men and women, and what's it's that? Just the word beautiful and
beautiful.
Handsome. Handsome and beautiful.
Well, we're not even handsome. Like, even if someone called me...
if you said it to, like, a lesbian woman, oh, you're a handsome woman. Handsome woman tends to imply that they're an older but nice lady. Like a sturdy.
So if I called, like, a butch dyke lesbian, like a salt of the earth lesbian, I called her handsome, she'd be thanks. But if I called, like, a lipstick lesbian handsome, she would be like...
Feminine.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I'm a femme.
You're a femme?
I guess so. Someone come up to me the other day, this big, bouldering, towering woman, and was like, oh, so you're in a femme-femme relationship. I was like, oh, you don't look like a millennial, but you sound like one. What on earth are you talking about?
I love when people say words, like, I catch my mum saying words, where you're just like, are you supposed to say those words? Generationally speaking, like, oh, I don't get that.
There's a comedian on Today, and he does a bit where he's like, nosh. That means very different things to the old generation than to our generation.
See, that's just English as well. Yeah, so, as an Australian, I am a racist and I dislike anything that's otherness. Okay, so something else that came in recently was the 2018 Warwick Rowers new, what are they called, calendar has been announced.
Amazing, yes.
Have you seen the Warwick Rowers?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's like, yes, I
think
have.
It was forwarded to me by a relative, which was weird.
Yeah. No, see, I got sent a link several years ago from my mother on Facebook.
Nice.
It was like, Merry Christmas. Maybe here's some photos.
Maybe calendars are like they're almost like a novelty gift. So yeah. It's all right. Like a dildo.
I wouldn't be surprised if my mom gave me a dildo as well. But like, she sent it to me. I was like, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. I was like, oh, okay. She's like, you live in London now. Here's the Warwick Rowers. And I was like, you know what? Thank you very much. I will find them and I will stalk them. Yeah. For those of you in the know who don't know who the Warwick Rowers are, they are a softcore porn, I guess. Oh, I mean, no, you know what? So they're from Warwick University and they're
so
all...
So what they actually do first?
No, they're all softcore porn. That's all they do.
Yeah.
No, so they're the Warwick... They're from Warwick University and they are rowers... And they all study there at Warwick University, but they have gone into doing calendars that are both tasteful naked shots of them.
They're quite well done.
Yeah, really, really beautifully done. Throughout nature and throughout, like they have different themes about what they're doing and stuff like that. But really, it's mostly for the LGBT kids to be a little bit thirsty and to be like, "Ooh, shirtless naked men." Well, my girl, thank you very much, please and thank you. So, but they're doing it to actually help LGBTQI kidlets to, you know, be better.
Kidlets.
Yeah,
beautiful.
to be happier and stuff. And it's to be, from my understanding, it's to be inclusive within the sport industry. Mm. So they're trying to help the queer kids come into sport and go, you know what, it's okay to be gay, you know, come play football or cricket or netball, sure, or whatever, you know.
Sorry, go. My feeling about stuff like that is that if you are close-minded enough to deny your child any education of the LGBT community in general, you're also probably close-minded enough not to want to mention anything about any sexuality at all. No nudity in the house, no pictures of anything. So it's not... So you can imagine why a proper right-wing, like, stuffed shirt, made that up, don't really know what it means, you sort of get what I'm going for, they would be less inclined to even let kids see those posters. Whereas the LGBT community, like, oh, it's just a bit of fun. Look, they're not... There's no thing going into anything. There's no penetration.
Okay, also yeah. I realised, as we're doing this podcast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there is a kids' show that is being vacated from...
It's the Warwick Rowers,
mate. It's the Warwick... Oh, here come the Warwick Rowers. Hey, boys. The kids' show that's being let out from the Museum of Comedy. So if, for whatever reason, you hear us awkwardly pause and then stop talking, it's because we're being respectful of the space that we're in.
I'm going to steer the conversation towards Elmo the elephant.
Yes.
Was it Elmo?
Oh, my.
Ellie.
Nelly the elephant. Elmo is from Sesame Street.
Elmo the Saint Philip Street.
How about that trunk?
Have you ever felt full after a big meal? Is your tummy getting a little bit rounder? Are you spending a little bit too much time on that porcelain throne? Well, maybe you're eating carbs. Hi, I'm Greg from the Dietary Institute of Care, or DIC for short, and I'm here to tell you of a way to lose weight and fast. Leading experts in our LGBT office have found that you can simply cut carbs from your diet will instantly make you more attractive to men. Sure, you'll be less fulfilled both physically and emotionally, but hey, at least you're sexually wanted. Carbs, making gay men fast since 93. Bread.
Okay, welcome back. The children have left. Woohoo!
Oldest one left.
Oh no, the Warwick Rowers, they managed to strangle one of them.
libelous.
They didn't do that. That wasn't a thing that they did. That was quite entertaining. It was really lovely watching Jordan actually do a pantomime act for the children when they came past. That was really enjoyable.
I just sneezed, and it looked like I was about to do something.
Yeah,
well, the way I'm dressed.
It's a panto. It's like, oh no, you didn't. Oh yes, you did. okay, so going back to the famous people and making them bring them down a peg, Perez Hilton. What is your take on Perez Hilton? Do you like him? Do you not like him? Do you like what he does?
My introduction to him as a person was when I did The Voice 2016.
Oh, so have you physically met him?
No.
Okay.
No. He tweeted out that my battle round was the best battle round. I'm not just bigging myself up.
Okay.
The best battle round that he had ever seen. So I was like, this is really nice.
To be fair though, you are a phenomenal performer. So let's just take that out. But so Perez Hilton complimented you on your back.
Yeah, he tweeted out this thing, and I was like, blimey, whoever this is has got billions of followers. I should make a thing of it. So spoke to him, all of maybe 4 messages exchanged. Really nice. But then I looked at him and what he does, and I told people, and they were like, some of them were like, oh, he's a bastard, he's just mean. Some of them were like, oh, that's amazing. So I had to reserve judgment of whether or not I could accept that compliment in like a... Do you know what I mean?
An authentic way. Yeah.
So that's
like, it's kind of like Hitler, really. Like Hitler going, hey, what, you're a good,
let's explore
you're a good
this
guy.
More. What do you mean?
It's like, you did all right. But for those of you who don't know who Perez Hilton is a gossip rag magazine, internet. He delves into celebrity culture and celebrity gossip and stuff like that, and that's totally fine. That's, you know, all power to everyone. I love me some gossip, I love me some drama, that's all what I'm about. But he is very much a bottom feeder. Gay puns. But he, like, see what I did there? Hey. But yeah, he's very much, like, he he brings people down. I see so often he brings people down. And nothing was more evident than when he was on, Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother in the UK.
Sure,
he was on with Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race. he was on with her, and she is a very staunch queer ally. And he was like, oh, you're like making fun of me, rah, rah, rah. And she's like, shut the fuck up. Like, come on. Like, I've been a queer ally forever. And he's like, no, I'm a gay, so I know what it means, rah, 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 rah. Like, he got really uppity. This isn't years ago, by the way.
Yeah. So his function that he is usually able to commit via the window of a screen or a magazine or whatever, when he's actually in front of someone, that mechanism that his go-to thing just didn't work.
I mean, he's 100% narcissistic. Like, as a narcissist myself, like, I am all, like, I acknowledge as a performer, you can't not be a little bit of a narcissist. You have to be a little bit self-involved. But he is just next level narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And I was reading last week an article about Perez Hilton, because he was complaining, he was pretty much having a bitch fit because people were bullying him and victimizing it, like he was becoming the victim. And I was like, mate, you cannot come out and like be like, ooh, people are making fun of me, when you constantly, day after day after day, make fun and belittle other people. Like, you've got to take your medicine.
Changed.
Exactly.
And world's changing.
I hate those kinds of people. World's changing. Oh my god. So, I mean, you know what I'm like, Jordan. So I'm the gutter. Like, I am the dregs of society. I go for the swears. I go for, like, I'm a horrible, nasty person.
You describe yourself in the same vein that somebody in a Victorian time might have described Jack the Ripper.
You know what?
And you're dressed a little bit like
him. I am. I've got my death prayer shawl that I'm wearing.
I think you're selling yourself a bit short by describing yourself
and
as
I do
the
live...
dreg, the actual bottom of society.
I actually live on the canal in central London, just off the canal where all the prostitutes used to hang out in the 18th
where
century.
Were you on the night of December 16th, 1508?
I'm actually Jack the Ripper in reincarnation. You're welcome. I don't know what we're talking about.
The world's changing.
No, the world's changing because Harvey Weinstein and Louis C.K. and Bill Cosby and what's the other one?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey. So what happened with him was he allegedly sexually assaulted Anthony Rapp. Now, Anthony Rapp is from the new Star Trek Discovery. Do you watch Star Trek.
I've heard very good things. Very good things.
Oh my goodness. So I'm a massive Star Trek fan. So like I'm a nerd, like I'm a hot gay nerd, except I'm not hot. So I'm just a gay nerd. Please love me. And I've been watching Star Trek since forever. My favourite was Voyager because it had a strong female captain, and I'm all about that. Like, female rights, yeah, women. Except I'm a gay man, so no women. But but Star Trek Discovery started again in that same light, had two strong females, two women of colour as well.
So it like drew from the best series.
In my opinion. Now everyone, like, if you get into like a Star Trek like fight with someone,
let's not go into that spiral.
Like, that could be treacherous, but like people were like, oh, Picard's
better. It could be treacherous.
With comedy like that, you should stay out of comedy. Anthony Rapp is a openly gay character and an openly gay man in this
typecast. Typical.
Oh, that's what they do. In this season, and he recently came out and said that several years ago when he was 14, Kevin Spacey allegedly raped him or sexually assaulted him.
Yeah.
And
blimey.
To which a lot of people are going, whoa, like, this is disgusting, this is rah, rah, rah. Mm. And at that moment, Kevin Spacey came out as a gay man.
Yes.
Now, that was a moment that I thought we could talk about.
Sure.
Because he... Now, coming out is a big deal, I think, for anyone who has to come out. That's an absolutely massive deal. Coming out straight after you've been alleged, like, allegations of rape or sexual assault have been laid on you, I think that's a tricky one. But then also, I don't know about you, but I've known that Kevin Spacey's been gay for forever.
It wasn't on my radar.
Did you not know?
But then I just knew.
Like, I was just like, oh yeah, he's, you know, whatever.
The word is gay.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's in the title of your podcast.
Homo. So no, but I've always known he's like. Okay. I know he was gay. I didn't realize that was such a.
It's bad timing.
Yeah.
The facts separately were. I mean, look. I don't think you can. I'm completely unattached. I'm amoral in this conversation.
Yeah.
Just the facts of what he allegedly did and his sexuality are two separate facts that were released at the same time, which was just a very stupid thing to do.
Exactly.
But also, if the alleged offence was against another man, by default, he's coming out by admitting that he did it.
Yeah.
So...
Why didn't you just calm down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The landscape is treacherous, but to me, it seems like a non-story that they were like, oh, this is going to be great. We can sell newspapers for 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. No. The fact is, we were going to say he was coming out as gay, so let's make it into a bigger thing then.
Yeah. I think he just wanted to sort of maybe like cover his butt a bit and try to like make it like...
That's what the other guy should have done.
Ooh! Yeah. Oh, comedy.
Don't know what time of day this was in. No, this is podcast, isn't it?
You can listen to one in the morning. If you're listening to this, then you've made life choices and they are wrong. So, well done you.
You found the demographic, Wayne. It's brilliant.
So, in that light of the Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey generation that we seem to be finding ourselves in, where a lot of people are coming out, the victims of sexual assault are coming out as being sexually assaulted, and I think that's a very powerful thing. But
it's amazing the way it's changed.
100%. Like, I'm all for like people speaking out, but then also in that light, I get very worried for people who are the PC generation.
Sure.
Now, 100% staunch against sexual assault, all that kind of jazz. But there are the people, like for me, you know me full well. I like to touch people sometimes, and it's all tongue-in-cheek, and it's all a bit of a laugh.
Well, I think once your tongue goes into their cheek, you've gone too far.
You know what, obviously I won't be doing that, but like, if I accidentally grabbed a boob and like, ha ha ha, amongst friends, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like a friendly, hey going.
If your hand went into a crowd,
yeah.
And you...
I'm not a Donald Trump, I'm not going to grab anyone by the pussy, but that's not who I am, that's not what I'm about.
Not in the circles that you frequent.
Exactly. You're around, so for me, if I was to do it to you, not that I would, but if I did,
sure.
So like, I couldn't imagine.
Wayne, stop. Wayne.
Oh my God, no, Wayne. No. Oh.
Wayne.
Okay. Well,
transmission ended.
I hate you.
I don't know why you doing that would have interfered with the electromechanical workings of your podcast machine.
Because I'm electrified.
Exactly.
That's what I am. So, but like, if I was to do that to you or any of my friends, it wouldn't be, for me, I wouldn't consider it a bad thing because it's mates hanging around and just being idiots. If you felt uncomfortable about it, I would feel very confident in the fact that you would be like, hey Wayne, this isn't appropriate, and you would shut me down instantly.
There's a level of intelligence that you need to have in a group that is a self-regulating thing.
Mm.
It will sort out, a group will sort out its own problems based on a shared intelligence. And you've got to forget, you can't forget, we're comedians.
Yeah.
And the circles that you personally hang around in and myself, it's a different world.
This is true as well. But I always come back to this kind of like-mindedness and like what you were saying about being within that community and stuff like that. And I see the queer community very heavily heavily sexualized.
Mm.
That's what we are, that's what we do. And I keep seeing all of these things, and Al Porter is a prime example. Now, I don't know if you know Al Porter. Al Porter is a Irish comedian, very well known. He recently has been alleged that he has sexually assaulted someone, and he pretty much came out straight away and went, I apologise for anything that's happened, rah, rah, rah. This has happened in the past, several years ago, blah, 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 blah. And he's pretty much quit all of his sort of
Okay.
standing radio shows and performing gigs and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's pretty much gone, oh, I'm going to take a sabbatical now. And it's really been detrimental to his career.
Well, yeah, I was going to come in there like, oh, this is amazing. I don't mean for his career. I mean, stupid choice that he made. He's done that. But the fact that it's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
People are going, oh, I didn't know. Like, these must all just be fake allegations. Mm. No, that they're all real. They just weren't brought out until now because it took this to happen.
But see, for me, and I don't know the situation in detail about Al Porter's situation or Kevin Spacey's, but I see Kevin Spacey and I see Al Porter, and I see, for me, from what I've been presented to in the media, a clear difference. So Kevin Spacey, there was an abuse of power, and there was sort of casting couch situation, and he was allegedly sexually assaulting a minor. Now, that I totally get. The Al Porter situation was, from what I can see via the media, and this could be completely incorrect, is that it was a bunch of mates hanging around within the comedy circuit and just having a laugh and doing whatever they're doing. And so that's where I go, is this such a bad thing?
Exactly. Should there be
not a culpability on that person to go, hey, come on.
This whole thing that what's happened, and it has happened since the beginning, I guess.
Beginning of time.
But since the advent of mass media.
Yeah.
There's a million different narratives running. It's almost like a computer program that's running your computer. So what you see, like, the load of narratives are going on. The narrative of the sexual assault from the celebrity to the underprivileged, whatever, the abuse of power, that is a little box square narrative that now sells papers because it's just happened.
Yep.
That, there's no nuance to it. The media just takes that narrative and they apply it to every single instance where any single person has been alleged of anything sexually untoward and react with the same intensity. So somebody having a cheeky little feel, bad. Somebody accidentally grazing the fire. There's no nuance. There's no, oh, that's not as bad. It's no, they all are in this box.
Exactly.
That is dangerous. Intelligent people know the difference, but it's way easier to sell the news if you can just tag on another sexual abuse.
And that is what I'm worried about. No, I'm totally all for, like, the incarceration and the, what's the word, the bringing down of people who are the perpetrators of sexual assault, 100%. But then if we get into a PC generation where I can't even touch my friend's boob because, I feel like it, and she's a mate,
You find that those people...
That sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
The centre of those stories are not reacting with the same intensity that the rest of us are being sort of urged to.
Yeah.
We're encouraged to react with massive intensity because it sells papers. The news is only to sell news. There is no news outlet, mass franchise news outlet. And basically, anything that has any money attached to it is not there to give you an impartial news bulletin. It's there to make you watch the news again next week.
Now,
if they can stretch a story out, they will.
Speaking of news, I know this is going to make you giggle and laugh.
Okay.
We're going to put this aside because all of this is hardcore stuff and it's sad face, and let's deviate from that because this is a phenomenal story. Now, there is an elected official in America. She's just won a seat. Her name is Danita Rowan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who this is?
Yeah, I think I do.
Tell me more then.
Is it the trans lady?
She is trans, yeah.
She usurped the guy that initially put the bathroom bill in place.
Correct!
Yeah, I've got a point.
Yeah, you get all of the points to Gryffindor.
I'm redeeming it for a Harry Potter hoodie. Okay. Use my points to get myself one of those.
Oh, you only get a Slytherin one, I'm sorry.
I'm way into the Slytherin, mate.
Oh.
I'm Slytherin my way all over this ruddy place. So well done to her. And also, it's handled properly. It wasn't hugely blown out of proportion.
But then also, in terms of the news and how you're saying... It wasn't... Like, it was just like, well done, she did it. Good job.
Because where's the story?
I think it's a huge issue.
Where's the jeopardy there? Well, you can't argue with it. Who can argue? It's like having a go at a transgender soldier.
But then in this Trump generation that we see ourselves in America, it's just like, ha 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 ha, well done you. And it's just like, it's such a, just a... It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, liken it to, did you, for example, and this is not a trick question, you just to answer honestly here for the sake of this story. Did you hear about Norway's basically overthrowing its government and becoming a self-sustaining, independent republic?
I did not know that.
Of course you didn't hear about it. Here's why. Because they don't want you to hear about that. It happened.
Scandinavian, Norway, Denmark, Sweden are very much... doing life right. They seem to be owning their, like, they're part of the EU when they want to be, but then also they're just like
they're rolling the shots.
They've pretty much got life right. Education, but, healthcare, they're doing it.
It's a story that about a change that worked. That is really detrimental to the people that are in power and have been for hundreds of years because they don't want any change. They want zero change. So a transgender woman getting in is a huge like thumbs up for change.
Yeah.
Instead of bad mouthing it, it's a blanket. No, don't make a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let it make it non-news. That's genius. I mean, you got to hand it to them. They're not idiots.
Exactly right. Absolutely love that kind of thing. Went to swear, did not, but I'm
proud of you, man.
Yay, gold star for me. I get 10 points to Gryffindor. I can't wait to be sorted.
If we put our points together, we could get one of those little pencils with a little Harry Potter rubber on the end.
You know what? I don't want that. I want a Horcrux. because I'm a whore and I have cruxes. So
there's a really good bit of wordplay in there.
I don't want to brag, but I'm a successful comedian with several gigs that are coming up. Don't come to them. Before this podcast, I went onto Google, like I said, just found a smattering of things that I found, and this one really tickled my inner bits.
Tickled your crux.
Tickled my crux. Woman pleads guilty to marrying her mum after they hit it off.
How long did it take for them to hit it off?
I don't know, but I just...
If she's of marrying age, then 18.
Yeah, or 16, depending.
So it took 16 years to think...
It's 16 with parental consent.
Oh, I see what's happened there.
Yeah.
They've hit it off in inverted commas.
Yeah.
That's quite sweet. Imagine being like, forget all the incest bit. Imagine being like 14, 15, you're like, oh, I really want to get married. And then the other person, it's like, don't worry, in a year's time, I get to sign a piece of paper that says you can marry me. That is weirdly cute.
It is a beautiful Cinderella story of love.
You said that she pleaded guilty, so presumably she was accused by a court of law that is a bad thing.
Incest is not a great thing. So I think that's not a great thing, bless her. But
do we know who was making the accusation?
That is a good question to which I don't know the answer to, because
was it her dad?
It could have been an uncle who wanted to get in there as well. And but you know what? Keep it in the family, I say.
I was with a...
I mean, that's what the royals do, right?
Tainted blood.
Royalist.
They would never classify a Slytherin because their blood is tainted by muggle blood.
Muggles in the royals.
I was with a comedian the other day and we were talking about Charles Darwin and how he discovered evolution and yet he married his cousin.
I absolutely love how we've somehow managed to go from woman marries daughter... to the royal family, to Charles Darwin.
To the history of the origin of life.
Mm.
No, it's the fact that he was the one to have discovered evolution.
Yeah.
And yet he married his first cousin. So he's like, oh, don't do this because of bad things, but also come here, give us a kiss and a cuddle, let's have seven kids. What an idiot.
You know what? I wish for those moments.
And he's on a £10 note.
He's on a £10 note?
Is he on the new one?
Oh, you're talking about Charles Darwin?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I just sort of like mind blanked and went, who are we talking about for a second?
Imagine if we look now, it's just Kevin Spacey on the new note.
Oh my god, that would be
like, phenomenal. Oh, what bad timing, you put him on the note.
It could be like holograms or something.
Oh no, he's not on there anymore. It's,
who is it? Do we know her name? It's a woman, so yay.
There's a little quote from her that says, I declare, after all, there is no enjoyment like reading. Oh, Jane...
Austen?
Yes.
Is it real? I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Jane Austen.
I mean,
but
to be honest, a quote like that, there's nothing better than reading. Good publicist. Good self-publicist.
Yeah, she's a winner. She's a success.
She would say that.
What she'd like. Oh, God. Speaking of people and women and being what they like, you, Jordan Gray, international success, ? you have been absolutely storming it. So like we said earlier in the podcast, is we met in Edinburgh during Fringe.
Yeah.
You've been a pop sensation for 2 minutes, and that was great for you. That was an enjoyable moment. But you took a leap of faith into the comedy scene. You hadn't really been in there, and you went, let's give this a crack. I know I'm funny. Let's go and see how it goes. I gave you a chance because that's who I am. I'm a giver.
This would normally be where I jump in and change it. The story, but that's pretty dead on to pretty, what happens.
Yeah, but I can come across as a hard ass and be like really mean and stuff like that to the outside world. But genuinely, like, I was like, yeah, I mean, what's the worst that's gonna happen? You're gonna fail, and then I can just make fun of you.
Like, everybody like, wins.
It's gonna be a success, right? Yeah. And so you got on stage, one of your first gigs.
I think it was like 3 or 4 yeah. max. It can't be more than 4.
In the comedy realm. Yeah. And you absolutely stormed it, right? And I was like, how dare you come into my comedy room 4 gigs in and absolutely storm it. Like, I remember 4 gigs in when I performed. I was like talking about ancient Egypt and how, like, how the gods used to jizz into cos letters. Now that...
I can't find the... the wordplay there.
Yeah.
Will you do it? Is it a long form bit of comedy?
There was hey, a...
Hello.
Hey. Do you want to pick your spot?
Yes, we're joined by David Harker.
So we're recording a live podcast.
Oh, hello.
Do you want
to... We're going to pause and we're going to go talk to David Harker because okay. of feelings.
It's 1 second.
1 second. Hi, I'm Sean and I'm here to tell you about a revolutionary new agency that is taking down the man one case at a time. If you're having problems with an overly sexualized boss in the workplace, if that man on the tube keeps rubbing up against you on that morning commute, or you simply just don't want to have your life mansplained to you, well, you need Lips. That's right, Lesbians Investigating Problems is here to take down the patriarchy one ignorant man at a time. To contact your local Lips, just grab the nearest phone book and flick away. That's right, flick for Lips. Only available in the UK, subject to availability. We'll also do odd jobs around the house if required. And we're back from having a chat with David Harcastle, who is the promoter and organiser of Leicester Square Comedian of the Year, in which Jordan will be winning!
I'll be competing. About an hour and 21 minutes.
And that is a great segue because we were talking about how she stormed the competition. My show in Edinburgh.
Gay stuff.
Yeah, in Edinburgh, and it was ridiculousness. It was great. Then earlier this year, you won another competition.
Oh, yeah.
What did you win?
I was very fortunate to pick up the regional Colchester New Comedian of the Year.
Colchester New Comedian of the Year 2017. Are you from Colchester?
I'm from Essex, and Colchester's in Essex.
Oh, okay. So I'm Australian. I don't know what that means.
Right. It sounds really posh, like I've just won Oxford New Comedian. Colchester's a rural, quite sweet little town.
Really. Oh, so like really like rural, and it's then here you like, come, a tea girl.
Yeah,
just
it wasn't
like
it wasn't in a pumpkin patch, but yeah, it was. Yeah. Right, I'm going to pick when I'm going to go on now.
Pick a number, David's pick here. A number.
Oh, Mad Ron is here. Yeah. Oh, Ricketts. Okay, I don't know, maybe... What do you reckon?
I would not go straight on number one. I would not go...
I've always been 6. So
I mean, for me, yeah, second
can
half,
I go
somewhere
after
in second
Ralph?
Half.
Of course you can.
Is that cool? Yeah. Thank you very much, David.
Because then you're memorable.
Yeah, thank you very much, David. We've just done out some live administration.
Ooh, live administration. Why am I singing? I can't sing. Now,
Colchester was...
Colchester.
And then I was phenomenal. Fortunate enough to have been... Ah, you can like, take the mic out of me. I'm going to say it, but
no,
then you can say the number.
It.
I was put on the Essex 100 power list.
I jokingly said before, I bet it was like in the 70s, and you were like the 71.
You're 71.
And, but like, it, you know what? But that is
it's pretty good. It's right.
That is still...
I think I'm like above Dominic Littlewood from Cowboy Builders.
I don't know who that is, so I know who you
that's
are.
Really
and
sweet
that's
sweet
that
you laughed.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm that's who I am.
Sure.
I just wanted to be nice to you. You are, let's be real, a relative unknown in terms of the comedy world.
In comedy, I'm a little baby for sure.
Yeah. So being on the top 100 of any power list, regardless of where you fall on that power list,
that
is a phenomenal achievement.
That's chuffed.
And so what at 71? That is... that's a great number.
I tell you what, mate. Wasn't 72, was it?
Exactly.
Dom.
Suck it, Dom. And you're whatever the things that you do. Gardening or something. What
does
he do?
He goes to, like, people that have been cheated by cowboy builders. Like, people whose houses have been built.
Oh, like Renegade.
Yeah.
He's actually doing something with the community. Whereas here we are just having a laugh at people. Suck it, Dom. You're helping people.
It's basically like the... what do you call it in this country? We're in England, by the way.
Hello and welcome to Europe.
The Citizens Advice. He's like a live agent for Citizens Advice. If you're like, oh, my builder cheated me out loads of money, Dom goes around there and he's like,
gives you a hand.
Oh, what are you? And he goes up to the people that did it with a microphone. He's like, why are you leaving? Why are you running away?
So it's like a current affair, kind of like trying to get the man.
Yeah,
And here we are. Having a laugh in the basement of a pub.
But on the flip side of that, a couple of days ago, I get a lovely little email in my inbox. I've recently started writing for Diva Magazine.
Diva Magazine,
yes,
phenomenal. Yes. Stopping you right there. Can you explain what Diva Magazine is?
I think it's the world's, it says so on the top of the magazine, so probably. The world's leading lesbian and bisexual lifestyle magazine.
Yeah.
I think Margaret Cho was the cover girl from the last one.
I love Margaret Cho. She is phenomenal. Okay.
So it's not just like adverts for lesbianism, but it's lifestyle, women's lifestyle. I've always write about anything.
Now, this for me, I think it's a big deal because if we're looking at the LGBTQI, LMNOP, whatever letters there are now, because I keep adding letters, but if we're looking at the queer community, gay men. Very much gay.
Very much gay.
Very
definitely
much
gay.
Very much gay.
So gay.
So very gay. All about that gayness. Now, yeah. I get that, and I get the privilege that I have in that when we talk about queer community, it's instantly about gay men. And we forget that there are other letters in that community. And LBTIQ, always get overlooked. And I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful that there is a magazine and a place for the people in the community that aren't gay men, especially white gay men, because, you know, all about them white people.
It's a very white magazine. I mean, is it very... right, I'm going to go on record.
You know what? It's a beautiful magazine. I've read it a few times.
It's a great magazine. That's a complete lie and joke. Please don't.
Well, Margaret Cho. Margaret Cho, a woman of colour on the magazine.
Can you put this podcast out after my term is over?
No.
Get my six.
I'm sending it to Diva Magazine. They're going to love it.
I'm very privileged to be part of it. But yeah, they just put me on their 100, a Diva Power List, 100 most influential lesbian or bisexual women in the UK. That's mental. That's mental.
Another power list?
Yeah.
A 100.
Yeah.
I can't do the...
I don't know what number, though.
Oh, you don't know what number?
No, so one. So, I'm going to say one. I think
you're
I'm
the most powerful.
I'm the most influential.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, you are the most influential person currently that I'm sitting
at the table.
Right. David Hardcastle left earlier, so we're safe.
Oh yeah, I would have been the second.
Otherwise you would have been at least third.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, that's phenomenal.
That's
so
nice.
You 4 gigs in when I met you, and you're now in 2 top 100s of influential people for Essex and Diva Magazine.
And yeah.
Which Essex you can take what you want from those. Mm. I think they're a big deal.
They are, yes.
Colchester New Comedian of the Year, which also might seem small, but also a very big deal for someone who's just starting out like 2 minutes ago. Yeah.
And then fingers crossed, we're sitting here right now.
And then Leicester Square New Act of the Year, I think also, fingers crossed. Even if you don't succeed, probably succeed. If you don't like get through to the next round, you are a phenomenal talent, and you competitions intrinsically don't really mean anything as long as you're funny and you find your voice and you do you, and there are audience members that follow you and like you for you, then who cares?
That's the magical bit of comedy, is you create a group of people that otherwise wouldn't have existed. That specific group of people that like certain things, never might have met, they meet, they form, you make your own Venn diagram of people. Nice.
Ooh, Venn diagram, I feel so like learned.
I always think of Sweden when I say the word Venn diagram, and I realise it's because Sven is the most common name in Sweden. So I think, oh, it was a Swedish guy that invented the Sven diagram.
It sadly was not, it was Steve, and he was from... Stoke on Trent, and I honestly.
He was pretty woke though.
He was woke as
woke on Trent.
Woke.
That's what we're gonna call him from now on.
Okay. Yep. Steve woke
Steve
on Trent.
Steve and Ben from Woke on Trent is basically responsible for all of comedy.
Well,
that is a definitive statement that I've made in the Museum of Comedy, and I'm not prepared to take it back. So,
and it's in the Museum of Comedy, so that means it stays. Yes. It stays in the Museum of Comedy.
I'm going to write it on the wall.
Stephen Ben.
Stephen Ben from Woke on Trend invented comedy.
There, done, 100%. Speaking of...
nothing. Nothing. We were speaking nonsense.
No, but it kind of segues in. Is okay. It like a inspirational moment in history?
Okay.
Stephen Ben. Woke on Trend. Yeah. Inspirational. Totally not made up at all.
Yeah.
Something that also isn't made up is Australia.
As far as I know, it's a real place.
I've been there. In fact, I was birthed there. Yeah. And they recently did something really, 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 really good.
Dude, they finally got Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And I can talk to my mum. It's great. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well done.
For those of you who don't know what things are going on in the world, Australia just did a non-binding postal survey, which cost $1.2 billion because ridiculous. But yeah, so we did a non-binding postal survey to talk about whether same-sex marriage should be legalised, to which a resounding 64% of 79% voting said yes. So the overwhelming majority of the Australian community has said, yes, yep. Gays can get married. Now we're currently waiting for the politicians to do their little bit of thing and see how that goes. And we should know definitively in, I think, December 6th, we should know. So If there are any gentlemen callers that want to get married to this train wreck of emotion, just send me an email.
I think a month, what is it, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
That's a good amount of time to plan a wedding. That's enough.
You know what?
Maybe not a gay wedding.
Oh my God, I'm just imagining my wedding. I haven't decided if I want to wear a dress or not. Like, I think, because for me, suits just don't sit right on me. And so I want to wear a dress, but then also I'm just like, oh, that means I have to find a man that actually... It's fine. It's fine with a bearded gay in a dress on his wedding day. Like that's a niche market.
If it's your husband, you should be fine. Yeah. If it's his wedding and you're just there as well.
You know what? Sham wedding. I'm expecting a sham wedding. Well, really, let's be real.
I was just engaged to my beautiful cisgender fiancé.
Oh, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. Our wedding dress shopping was filmed for a documentary that's going out on ITV. So by the time this goes out, maybe that'll be out. But I wasn't going to wear a dress. I was going to wear a suit to break the gender boundaries. But they made me try on a dress and I really liked it. So here we are on camera, I'm going, oh, I'll wear a dress at our wedding. Oh. So, yeah.
And, sorry, cisgender woman.
Yes.
So she...
She's got a womb and everything.
A womb and everything. A womb with a view.
Believe it or not, she's actually expecting a baby.
Oh my God, congratulations. Oh, geez.
No, just to clarify, she's not going to get one. That'd be mental. That would be absolutely mental. Comedy.
Oh, jokes. All the lols. So...
That's quite a big thing to drop on someone in a conversation as a joke.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, by the way, bye.
Expecting. That's the joke, isn't it? She's just a very self-entitled person. She's expecting a baby, not going to get one.
So do you... babies aside...
That's where they're best. Just on the shelf.
Put them on the corner. See if they
germinate into a flower.
Could you imagine?
Growing a baby.
Aww. As a flower.
Aww. Like those pictures with the flowers.
Like flower pot men, yeah. Bill and Ben. Now, I don't know where that was segueing into.
It's Australia. Well done. That's big. That's huge. The wedding, really amazing.
Yeah.
Shaft. Politicians, always...
Yeah,
no,
but in saying that, Penny Wong from my local constituency in Adelaide, Australia, she a lesbian woman, and she pretty much lost her mind when the votes got tallied, and she was just like, she literally, because you know what politicians are like, they're very stoic, they're very like, they poker face consistently. Now she is a lesbian, obviously she had a stake in this vote,
sure,
but throughout the debates, for lack of a better word, because it was pretty much just vitriol. But through the debates of whether same-sex marriage should be legal or not, she was very, very respectful, very tolerant, very poker face, very, like, you know, owning her moment, right?
Yeah.
And then the votes came out, and then she just tears.
Oh,
and it was just one of those moments where you just... it was just... There was humanity, and it made me look at politicians and go, you know what? Actually, some of them... aren't too bad.
Sure.
And Penny Wong is a prime example of that. And I just... I'm waiting for the British politicians to do some of the same, because I've not seen one, not that there aren't any out there, but I've not seen one that I am like, oh,
fond of.
Yeah, you're a, you can relate, you're a to good human.
As a mammal.
Yeah, they're just ridiculousness, aren't they?
Yes, no.
I mean, Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage.
I don't want to jump in with some, well, I'm not even going to, not to go too heavy, but I urge people to maybe check out a little documentary, I think it's Adam Curtis, called Hyper-Normalisation. It's essentially how the lies that have been told aren't even to get away with anything. They're just to confuse us more and more. So we've reached a point where politics is actually literally just cartoons.
Just waffling nonsense.
It's just characters doing silly stuff. Everything that's actually going to make any difference is happening with or without us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
We're playing this big game. So it's nice to have these moments. But like you said, the Australian thing is a perfect example. Everyone voted. That didn't make a difference.
But yet. the hilarious thing is the percentage, 54%, was... before the non-binding process there for that cost of $1.2 billion,
yes.
Before that was done, that was the percentage of people that already, like, they already knew that number.
Right.
Before the postal service was taken out. So they pretty much went, oh, okay. I think it's going to be 64%. What do you reckon?
You'll find that there might be trying to rejuvenate the postal industry more than anything else.
I thought it was genuinely a moment of, like, we're trying to get the youth of Australia to vote.
To use post.
Australia Post is still a using thing. But then I see, and that's another funny thing. I just laughed so hard because I was like, this generation, the generation that's going to be, like, very uncharacteristically pro... Oh, no, sorry, not uncharacteristically pro... same-sex marriage or the vote yes, would be the younger generation, and they are very much what's the postbox, how do we mail things, like we use emails, so like that, like they wouldn't know how to do that.
That's
stuff.
It was a cruel but ultimately ill-conceived move to try and get people to vote by post.
Yeah. Because
they think, oh, right, but how stupid do they think we are? Oh, we don't know what the post is. We just won't vote then. They just learn.
Yeah.
It's basically showed that the youth of Australia has a lot of conviction.
Exactly. 100%. But I think to myself, like, in this generation that we're in, this technological age that we have, how are we not able to vote online? Like, how is that not a thing? Because we live in such a fast-paced society. Yeah. How are we not... like, if I wanted to vote for whatever in the UK elections, if I wanted to vote, why do I have to go into a voting booth and, like, go, like, why can't I just do
maybe
it online?
Maybe it's that thing of... the fact that... that first of all, the conviction that it takes to get up is more than it takes to write a letter, writing a letter is more than clicking a thing. But also, the way we think about online, ones and zeros floating around in space, like that bit in Willy Wonka where they break the kid into loads of little pieces. It's like it's almost Play-Doh. We don't think of it as real, solid data that's going to work. We think, oh, the Russians can get in and mix through it if they want.
Ugh,
so maybe
because we saw what that happened in America, right?
I have a story that is unrelated, but I wanted to get your it's related to Australia.
Okay, okay.
Maybe we can let's just tie
no,
it in.
Okay, segue. John Gray. Topical references.
I've got a family from Ngunnawadding, which I think is
bless
maybe,
you.
Yes,
bless you.
What's that mean? Oh right, okay.
God bless you.
Yeah, and I met when I was out there. I was there with my great aunt, and this Aborigine man got onto the bus with us, but very much like. Listeners, the equivalent of a red American Indian dressing up in all the apparel for tourists.
Oh.
He was an Aboriginal, but dressed up in all the bush
regalia. Yeah.
Right. Now, what's the... I understand the cliche and the joke and the stereotype is that this is just a bunch of racists.
Right.
But obviously, Aborigines still exist in the community.
Yeah.
Historically being driven out. He told us this joke that I found hilarious at the age of 15.
Oh.
Do you maybe know what it is, even?
No, possibly. But is it going to be like one of those like racial, like...
It's got...
No,
it's nothing worse than I've said already.
So that's the thing, like, as long as you're part of the community, and as long as it's being said with...
It was
you know
it's
I mean?
Quite sweet, because also it's based on a fictional premise, so there's nothing to it. The joke is... he essentially, the first 2 minutes is just the story of creation.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, and he gets to the point where I'm definitely going to do the accent. It's like, for me.
No,
oh, you're going to give me a bite.
No.
Right. Adam and Eve, it's all going well, and then a talking snake tries to convince Eve to eat an apple from the tree of knowledge. And she decides not to, but then she does, and then it's all effed up, and oh, you tell you what, maybe Adam and Eve, it would have been better if they were just Aboriginal. We'd have just eaten the fucking snake. Made me really happy at the age of 15 that this man had... It was really powerful thing. I was with him, and my aunt was really racist, like, just sitting there like, don't talk to him, don't talk to him. I was like, no, he's really funny and exciting. And yeah, I think maybe that's really stuck with me, that self-effacing humour.
That is a phenomenal piece of comedy right there. But also, it's a phenomenal story because it reminds me, and it segues back into what happened in London on the tube, not... 2 days ago.
Okay.
2 days ago, I was on the...
To you?
To me.
Right,
to me.
Let's do this.
So, it just... So, what your auntie did, your kind of racist auntie, did, is quite similar to what I see happen on the tube the other day, is that this really just offensively hyperactive, energetic, happy-to-be-alive man just walks on, like...
I'm not sure how to feel about this man. Offensively happy.
He just...
Sounds alright.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right? So he was just... He got on the overground and he walked... He was walking up and down the overground singing, "It is a great day to be alive, la 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 la."
Like, okay.
I love you. Saying hello to people, just like... And...
Without agenda. He's just happy.
He just happy. Without no other... Like, he wasn't trying to beg for money.
Yeah.
He wasn't asking, like, people to do anything. He was just in his moment, owning his truth, just loving life.
Yeah.
And everyone on the tube was genuinely like, what is going on? Why is this guy talking to us? Why is he happy?
Yes.
And I just went... I mean, yes, this is weird for me because I'm a bitter and morose person. That's the way I am. We're very polar opposites on the spectrum of life.
Yeah.
But...
Well, that's why you felt an affinity with him. Because he was also outside the realms.
He was just owning his moment. And everyone was just like, ugh, he's weird. And I was like, he's just being him.
Yeah.
And he's not harming anyone. And if anything, he's making this journey a lot more pleasurable.
Yeah.
So, like...
He's outside the Matrix. He's a glitch in the Matrix. We should all look at him.
Exactly.
She'll take an example from him.
And with that glitch on the Matrix, I know it's about to get time for your... we need to get prepared for your...
Oh, yeah, let us rehearse.
So, thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
Just coming to an end, David. You've joined us right in the last minute.
I'm missing it already.
Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. That was a very seamless transition.
Imagine if I had just left then as well. I was like, oh, that's the end of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, bye.
Thank you for having me. It's been really nice and lovely. And I like doing podcasts because I like having long-form conversations that aren't soundbitey edits.
And that's another thing that I like as well. I like waffling nonsense. That's a big part of my comedy style. And I like to be able to chat nonsense. And I'm narcissistic, so I can't wait to listen to myself again over the...
Don't edit anything out.
Yeah.
Just your whole...
Just listen to it. Just be like, yep, this is enjoyable.
Where do you see this podcast going? Not specifically this recording. It will remain in here until you put it on your computer and jiggle with it.
Yeah.
Where do you want the series to go? What do you want to do with it?
Onto the internet.
I hear it's going to be big.
Two people on Twitter have already said, interesting.
Just that. Loads of M's.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Promising. Yeah. Well, I mean, keep your ears to the ground, listeners. Driving You Home, I will be hopefully doing things. They will be saying words and they will be great. But
that's all you want out of the podcast, really.
I mean, really. I mean, I just want to help change lives.
Change the world. Change everything.
I'm Michael Jackson. Heal the world.
Make it a better place. For you and for me. And the entire human race. There are...
And with that...
Now I just look like an idiot.
And, well, ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Gray, professional idiot. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
Do comedy now.
Oh, yay! For those of you who want to follow her on Twitter or Instagram, at Tall Dark Friend, she is the best person I've ever met in my life.
That is a really nice thing to say.
It's also a lie. Thank you so much.
See
you. Bye. Well, that was Driving You Homo. Thanks again for listening. If you want to like, favourite, subscribe, do whatever the things that the internet tells you to do, just do it.
The internet is never wrong, and viruses never happen, so just do, you know, follow the instructions that are given to you, I guess. Actually, don't do that, because the internet is woefully bad. Just don't do that. But please, share this with your friends. Share it, like, you know, syphilis or whatever STIs are available to you at the time. No, don't do that either. You know what? This has gone off track a little bit. Please just share this with your friends. And I love you, you beautiful humans. Unless you're ugly. In which case, why are we friends? Driving you homo. Woo!